Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 272, the episode before WrestleMania. And oh my gosh, this episode's been up in the air. I think at some point this week, every single one of us has not been available. And it's kind of switched at different points in the week. Anyway, just one person this week. It's the old crew back together again, Matt. This is like the original days.
It is. I'd like to point out one of our party is running for cover due to a fucking earthquake.
I know, isn't that, my gosh, that was bizarre. The fact that you know about it then tells me it has made the news in England a little bit. Or did you know just from him?
I knew firstly from him, and then it's all over BBC News, all over Sky News, even made Sky Sports News.
I wondered if it had would it be New Jersey? And I don't know where in New Jersey. Were the people in Philadelphia who were perhaps at the Collective?
It was felt in Philadelphia, yeah.
That's what I wondered. Oh my gosh. That's an interesting start.
Some people are already spinning it that WrestleMania is so big it made the earth tremble.
Oh, for goodness sake. It was 4.7. And that got us talking, because we don't really get earthquakes on the East Coast. It's much more a West Coast thing. I think people know that. But there was one, and I couldn't remember if it was 2010 or 2011. And my first thought was, because we don't really get earthquakes in England. That's even rarer in England. I actually thought a truck had just gone by the house to begin with, and it kind of shook the building. But then I realized, I'm on a cul-de-sac. Like, there's no way it could have been that. And apparently that earthquake was 5.8. So I'll do the math for you on this one, Matt. It's on a scale where for each number higher, it's 10 times the four. So actually, the one that we had in Virginia was actually 10 times as strong as the one in New Jersey. But yeah, it's a weird sensation. Have you experienced an earthquake?
Not consciously. No, I know that we've had not knowingly anyway. I know that we get them here in the UK, but they're like 1.1, 1.2, something like that.
Yeah.
I know they're talking
about
that's
like over 1,000 times less than that one in New Jersey today. Then so yeah, minimum.
One in New Jersey today. Oh, yesterday it was going out. The weird thing is that the last time it had one this strong was 5.3, and I think it was like 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Not common at all. And no. From what I could tell, no one hurt, seriously, anyway.
I don't think we had any, because it was kind of almost like a joke on Facebook. There was pictures of like people's back gardens, and they'd be like the picnic chair tippled over, and it's like, I survived the hurricane, I survived the earthquake kind of thing. Yeah, it's kind of safe. I know it shook something off our wall, but besides that, yeah. But yeah, I know when you get those ones 8.9 and something, then yeah, that's like buildings collapsing. It was nothing to that severity. But thank goodness.
Anyone who has been affected by it in a bad way, and if it has made things unfortunate, then our thoughts are with you.
Absolutely,
But from what we can tell so far, from what I can see so far, everyone seems okay.
Good.
Can't be for sure, though.
Yeah, we were obviously talking about it at lunchtime. We actually got a notification just to let people know it hadn't affected our school system. Everything was going to continue as normal, but they would provide updates if necessary. And then yeah. I just worked right through to the end of the day until I came online with you. So I haven't had a chance to follow up. But yeah, everybody knew about it just because of that text message. So yeah, it was far-reaching for sure. But yep.
Yeah, I'm doing a quick glance at now. Yeah, they're taking it seriously because of the potential aftershocks. But as far as everyone can tell, the city is safe. Apparently, there may be a fault line which has been reactivated.
Ah.
Which would be...
Does it say where the center, where the epicenter is?
Yes, Graham, it does. It's Lebanon, New Jersey, 40 miles west of New York City.
Yeah, I recognize that name for sure, but yeah, I couldn't place it. Yeah, because we were obviously traveling in that area about 2 weeks ago, Jackson and I. So, yeah, I certainly recognize that one for sure.
Yeah, New York City had 3 earthquakes of 5 magnitudes in the 1700s. 2 occurred in the 1700s and 1 in the 1800s. We're talking 200 years.
Sure.
So, yeah, so This is your educational portion of the podcast. We now qualify for a grant.
Well, as Ryan's not here, did you want to talk any soccer at all? Considering Manchester United have been choking badly recently, like they lost. They thought they'd won against Brentford, and then did not win against Brentford. And then they thought they won against Chelsea, and then not only did they not draw, they lost. So it was 8 minutes of injury time, and someone took a screen grab, and it's like 9:30 in injury time, and they're still winning by one goal, and then they lost.
93 seconds between being one goal up and being a goal down, yes. That's
hilarious.
Play to the whistle.
Of course.
Our beloved Liverpool had a bit of a scare briefly yesterday against the bottom club.
I agree.
Yeah, although Mac Allister, what a goal that was.
Oh, phenomenal. Did you hear his quote? He said people said it was a fluke against Fulham, so I had to show them it wasn't.
And then he's going to ping the free kick moments later that I thought was going to pretty much take the standing off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They keep winning, though. That's what champions often do. They don't always necessarily play. But did you see the possession? They said it was the highest possession. I'm not sure it's in the Premier League, but certainly for a Liverpool team. It was 83% possession. And I think it said that beat their record against Everton last year, which was 81%. So they were very dominant. But sometimes they just can't get that. They couldn't get the goals in. But
can't always get the goals, you say. Stats are... Well, yeah, 83% possession, 29 shots, 9 on target,
13 corners.
But weird thing here is 5 shots, 3 on target, for United, and one of them went in.
Yeah. They could have easily taken the lead after the first minute as well.
Actually,
I missed the start of the game, but I did see that. I love that on Peacock. That's one thing I do like about Peacock. I get to watch my wrestling on there, but that game last night was on Peacock, so that's kind of included. But when you log in, it's like, would you like to see the key plays so far? I'm like, that's cool. That's a cool feature that I do not get when I log on to USA and Sling. So I wish they'd do that for wrestling, actually. That would be really... I could turn into Raw like in the second hour or something, and they could just show me the main moments that I missed so far and then skip through it. Yeah.
Well, to be fair...
You listening, Netflix, Hunter? That's what I want.
They're going to Netflix, you never know.
Could be.
Speaking of wrestling, Graham, what a great link back in. Have we talked some good stuff on the go-home week for the rest of wrestling?
Good! Bad!
I have no idea what sort of order we've kept, but I'm going to let you go first. I can see your T-shirt you're wearing. I'm wondering if that's going to be mentioned this week.
It might well be indeed, sir. I thought about last week, Ryan was pissed off that the guest went first because it used to be him.
I heard that. So...
I had so much fun last week. I should really thank, again, our guest from last week, SJ. Graham, the same reason to be here for it last week. She will be back.
Yay!
Sure. She will be back for sure.
Please check with us. Like, you're terrible at booking people, and then you book it on like the one Friday when I had tickets.
I did give you a month's notice on it.
Well, I booked the tickets ahead of time, though, so it's not that you give me notice. It's that I'd already had something planned for
If you had told me when I booked SJ, not straight away, you didn't.
And then what made it even worse, because I was pissed off, I was in the stadium. I was like, oh, I could just gate crash, because we often do that. It's kind of funny. I'll check it. And then when I listened back to the episode, it was like an hour and a half in. I could have recorded the first hour with you guys easily, but whatever. These are bad moments.
Well, we started
early.
Let's
do good cop moments.
Yes, indeed, Graham. Well, as you said, my shirt does speak a lot. It is my CXW shirt, the black one. The base shirt, you could say, perhaps. Obviously, this past week was massive at the Table Academy in Braintree. Phenomenal event. Literally, they were hanging from the rafters. The show started almost literally, Graham, at some point. It was a really rowdy crowd. It was really good.
I was just about to write into Coleman balls there in Private Eye.
It was a really good event. 4 titles on the line. We saw 2 title changes. I can say this because Paris put all the information out there on social media.
Yeah.
So I can say the results. Saw some first time things. We saw the first non-wrestler win the CXW Extreme Championship, for example. No, it wasn't me.
No, oh, I think you would have mentioned that. I think I would have been
And
tagged. I would have been disappointed if you had one and you hadn't tagged us.
believe me when I say this, and I can pull back the curtain a little bit here. I was discussing it with Joey Naylor, who was the champion going to the event. I said, like, shame I can't roll you up for that. I was like, well, you can do if you want, mate. I'm like, there's no ref here. There's no ref.
You
And
need a ref.
I need a ref. That's all I need. It would have been fun. It would have been a fun thing for sure. I mean,
Payoff
just
will be worth it down the line, as you always, as we like to say,
as
right?
we're told, Bishop, that one's for you. It was a great event though from start to finish. It started hot with Johnny Storm and Charles Samuels, literally lights, camera, action, literally, because the lightning rig came down. They banged into the lightning rig and it fell over.
Uh-oh.
It was brilliant though. It was brilliant. It was really, really good. Multiple events spilled out into the crowd. The fan interaction was always good. At one point during the night, the referee became a weapon. I kid you not. We saw Sassy Bear Clarence flying with a sausage, with a giant inflatable sausage in a skirt between his legs onto Joey Naylor, onto thumbtacks. It's only it's CXW, seriously, and any indie show. Graham been an indie veteran at this point. He literally, when he heard I was going to an indie show, he was so happy. And yeah, I mean, I thought it would be a good show, a thing to be a part of. Oh my God, so it is. It's, I mean, independent wrestling, get out there. But I mean, people, how busy has WrestleMania weekend been, for example, in Philly? Now people have gone to the indie shows there. Most people who have been their biggest shows they've ever done. It's amazing. I mean, how much would they collect the tickets, Graham? Ridiculous,
They
aren't they?
varied by a bit, but you could, I think if I remember correctly, like if you'd have bought the packet, so you could go to every single one as general admission, I want to say it was about, was it 250, something like that, for like 8 to 10 shows, so about
That's not
25 to
bad.
$30. It wasn't, it really wasn't. I should have pulled the trigger, but
But it's
I
sold
did.
out, is the point.
They did. Well, my thought was, if it's $25 a ticket, I'm probably not going to want to go to the midnight show anyway. So I'll just buy single tickets. But then when the single tickets came out, you get a discount for buying in bulk kind of thing. So the prices were up, and then they sold out so quick that yeah, I just didn't get on board.
I'd like to
But
point
that's on
out,
me. That's on me.
I would like to point out, guys, that Graham says I don't want to go to the midnight show. Can I fast forward you back 5 years this weekend, Graham?
I'm also 5 years older as well. I'm in my late 40s now, as
Yeah,
opposed to
but
my early 40s. But there was a difference. We were arriving at that time, so it would have been a
I don't
convenience.
think I was even through check-in at that
Well,
point.
you were late, so we wouldn't have been able to do it, but it did seem like
That
a
was
good
out of my
idea.
hands,
I
unfortunately,
thought
yeah.
it would have been a good experience. That was the thing. Like, how many
I'm glad
chances
I'm
do you
in.
get to see
The only draw was Scott Steiner versus Swoggle, to be fair.
it?
We didn't miss anything else. Everything else we saw that new weekend, it was great.
That's all good.
It
Yeah,
was
I haven't
good.
watched anything from the collective. I just did not. I forgot about it. I saw Tiffany post with three different screens going at once, and I was like, "Oh crap!" I was like, "I totally forgot about it," because I was watching the Liverpool match and I was watching a bit of darts and just doing other stuff as well, and I just totally forgot about it. So I'll probably be catching up very later, much later. It'll probably won't even be this weekend. It'll probably be more next week and probably the weekend. But the good thing is, if some of those matches, you can watch them at any point. It's not like you have to watch them this weekend. There's
It's
a
a good
lot of
point, yeah.
individual stories, so there'll still be good wrestling events to watch
But
going forwards
question,
as well.
do we know how Shayna got on?
I do not. I don't personally. I haven't.
I
I
don't
have to
know
say, I've not
personally
really been on social media today, so I don't know.
either. Yeah, I don't know if Shayna beat Masha, but my God, I'd love to have seen that
That
match.
might be the one, actually. Now you remind me about that. That might be the one that, if I have a little bit of time, I will skip through and just watch that one before. I don't care if it's a spoiler. If you tell me that Masha wins, or if you tell me that Shane wins, it doesn't matter. I still want to see it. It
Yeah,
doesn't make
I
any
saw a
difference at
match
all.
where the results are irrelevant.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact it's
Spoilers don't
happening.
bother me really for wrestling. I think I've said that before. They don't really bother me for wrestling.
Because so, the finish isn't always the point. It's the story.
Correct. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just because you know the final outcome does not mean you know what happened in the rest of the match. So, no, I think that's probably the difference. For sure.
Absolutely. I mean, friend of the show, John Scott, who's does Wrestling with Johnners on Facebook. I know you're aware of him, Graham. He actually did the Mat Attack back in the day. And I've been on his show. And then fast forward, he rocked up to CXW with his entire kit, and interviewed everybody, and so there's me and him sitting there chatting, sitting on a coffin, having a chat. It's one of the weirdest experiences in my life. Talking to someone who I made friends with in podcasting before the pandemic, and hadn't had a chance to speak to, and he said that he wants to come on this show.
Okay.
He can only spare about an hour, hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
I said, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen somehow.
Of course.
Teach to a time thing, because we now have various things to keep us in line, Graham, don't we?
Uh-huh. I was just looking while you were talking. I saw a very brief notification when I was looking on my phone, and I recognized it was from the pictures 5 years ago that you talked about. Today was actually five. It was exactly 5 years ago today, unless I posted this the day after. But I can actually see, I can't remember the first event we went to. I don't know if it was Chikara, but I can see the footballer who looked like Tom Brady. I do not remember what his name
Chikara,
was.
Chikara, yes.
So, yeah, I'm looking at those pictures from that first one. So, yeah, it was... so, actually, I guess we travelled up the day before then, didn't we? So, this was your second.
We travelled up on a Thursday night, and Friday it was Chikara, Black Label Pro.
Yep. And... Oh, here's the mathematician in me working. Of course, it's 5 years, but within that time, 2020 leap year, 2024 leap year, so that's 7 days, so that would put it back on... that would put it back on track again. Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But there you go. There you go. And of course, as I've said multiple times, I have completely screwed myself for going to WrestleMania again as this is in England because I got married on the first week of April. I mean, that's not always a guarantee. Sometimes it's held in March, so it might play out all right in the future. But down the line, hey, WrestleMania 45, Graham. That'd be kind of fun. Hey, that might be London, Graham. You might come to see me.
Wow, I'm telling you, based on prices for 40, that might be my only WrestleMania I go to. Like, I'm just not.
We can say we've done it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm quite happy. I'm so glad we went to a single day one.
Single day one, but it won't go single day again. It's too lucrative.
No, of course not. You can sell twice as many tickets. Of course you're going to do it that way, right? So,
And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that because it's better for us at home. I remember WrestleMania 36. During the pandemic, where we actually watched it on tape delay, effectively, and it was much better paced across two nights. And I was like, this is not hard to watch.
It was I think the difference is when you're watching live as opposed to when you're in person. When you're in person, that 8 hours flew by. When you're watching it on TV screen, it's not the same thing. Watching television for 8 hours is not the same as watching something
live. We were still knackered, though, young man.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. I had a break because I had a little break in the middle because my piss break match was Miz or Nacho Hunt match.
I would like to just quickly make a point here that we did go obviously to an event in the morning and then we went back to the hotel for a nap.
That's true. Actually, it was the afternoon. It was a lunchtime one. It started at 12.
Yeah, yeah. I interviewed the ducklings.
I'm going to be at that stadium. Well, not stadium. I'm going to be at that location in end of May. I don't know if I told you that or not. It's a different company. But the reason I'm going to be up there is for a Rolling Stones concert. And I saw...
Not MetLife no more.
No. Not that. The place where we saw the Ugly Ducklings.
Oh,
that location. I'm going to be at that one. So, yeah, I'm going to see the Rolling Stones at MetLife or whatever it's called now, according to you. But then before I saw, I can't remember the name of the company, but I saw that they had a show in the afternoon. I was like, why not? I'm like, this feels like WrestleMania all over again. It's only 4 miles to the stadium. The problem was, I did go back and take a nap. The problem was, I left the tickets at the hotel. So we had to drive back and then back again. So for hopefully when I do this with Jackson, It'll just be a 4 mile drive from one to the other. I got front row seats. I was like, it's worth $5 extra.
I'm going to say, guys, I'm going to paraphrase slightly. Bleep, 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 bang, 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 steering wheel, bleep, bleep, bleep. And then you literally turn it around like something out of Starsky and Hutch.
It was ridiculous. It was a tight schedule, and that did not help. And obviously, there's traffic getting to WrestleMania as well. God, it was a good plan. We got to see the Ducklands because I knew you wanted to do that. You got to interview the Ducklands as well. And yeah, don't regret doing it, but regret the stress that it caused by not remembering the tickets. But hey, it happens.
It happens. We've all been there. We've all done it.
Yeah. See, now it wouldn't even be an issue, though, because it would be on your phone, right?
5 years. What a difference that makes, eh? Exactly. I mean, they were doing them 5 years ago, but they really came in after COVID, obviously. So that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But we still got there in time for me to get my belt.
Yeah.
Was that a women's tag title? I wasn't going to fucking buy that, was I? No offense, women's tag titles, but I wanted the WWE Championship.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Saying that, when I was at CXW, Graham, I was in the commentary position, and there was someone there because I was in line with, like, the seventh row. Okay, because I was a bit further back from the ring this time. I was sort of like where Nitro had their hard cam back in the day, and you had a guy sitting there like three chairs down, with the WCW World Championship on his shoulder. I'm like, my dude, I'd understand a WWE event. I just don't get why you'd bring that to an indie show, personally. But, you know, it was fun. And then his kid came back, and he gave back to his kid. I was like, oh, now I get it.
Uh-huh.
But no, CXW was great. When it comes out on YouTube, go watch it, because you're going to see a casket match. You're going to see a tag team dog collar match where it's one partner from each team is dog collared to the other. I thought it was like a four-way collar thing. I thought that could be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, it was not. It was much more simple than that.
Mm.
But no, go check it out on YouTube. For free, and of course, tickets are already on sale for June the 1st, Graham, for Bangers and Smash.
I did like that name. I did see that on Facebook.
Because, of course, CXW is all about sausage.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
Notice for people who will be attending the next show, your seats will be allocated for front two rows. People spent the first 20 minutes shuffling down. They wouldn't sit next to each other. So they'll be actually allocated this time.
I think that's one of the problems. Yeah. It's one of the COVID things that people, well, even before COVID, people, if you got a chance to separate, you do. But it's one of those things that's really important. And particularly if you're a parent, this is a nightmare. Like if I'm trying to sit with Jackson, I can't just say, you sit over there and I'll sit here. Like you want to sit next to your child. So designating them is a much better way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, it was a great, great, great event. Great event, guys. Uh-huh. Do go check it out. I'm going to stop talking about CXW now. Graham, your good cop moment of the week, month, year, decade.
Before I get to that, it was unfortunate that I couldn't make the last episode. And we kind of talked a lot in DMs, particularly with Ryan. Ryan obviously loved the segment with the final boss, the cut, the blood, all that stuff. And I understood all that stuff. Go ahead.
No, I've...
Oh, I thought you were... Okay, I thought you were...
Oh, I was acknowledging
you. I'm so used to you doing a point of order, I thought it was one of those. And I told him, I was like, I wasn't really that into it. And I actually watched it back again, because I was like, perhaps I just missed something. And I watched it again, and I really wasn't that into it at all. And I know that kind of really upset him. the fact that he loved it, and I didn't. And it didn't
what
do
was your thoughts on it then, Graham? Use your chance to say your piece.
It just didn't really jump out to me. I can't talk too much because there's one thing that comes in later. It didn't seem plausible to me. There was something non-plausible about it that I'm going to get into a little bit later. So,
well, maybe I can help with that, Graham.
Absolutely, possibly. And I'm going to say Ryan explained his side to it, but I still just, for me, it was like, I don't know. It didn't work very well. So last time, I was not impressed. You know, in general, I've not been impressed with the bloodline for the, like, anyone but Roman type of thing. But actually, this is a positivity. So my good cop moments this week are actually both about, one's about Roman, one's about Rock. So my main good cop moment, and it's kind of short, but it'll give you a chance to kind of chime in. And I thought the same for Ryan if he was here too. Having said anyone but Roman, the A&E biography of Roman Reigns this week was absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, I did like The Shield. The Shield were one of the things, as I was coming back into wrestling, that I really bought into. Roman, Seth, Dean, loved it. Loved them coming through the crowd. Great to see all that again. And this sounds like a bad cop moment, but we'll twist it around quickly. The look back to 2018, and I can't believe that's 6 years ago already. Roman coming out into the crowd, and basically he's being booed. And then his promo is just like, hold on, what's going on here? He's like, I've been lying to you guys. And they're like, boo! And it's like, this is not Roman. My real name. And then he goes into that. And then the announcement that he has leukemia. Matt, as I'm talking to you right now, I got goosebumps just thinking back to it. I remember how shocking a moment that actually was. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, is he going to die? Like, and he said, this is not a retirement speech. I'm coming back. But we had never seen anything like it at all. As much as I do not like the Bloodline story, can you imagine how worse the WWE would have been if it hadn't been for Roman's return? Like, you look at I was not a big WWE fan for our very early episodes at all. I watched it only because you watched it. I have now said that I enjoy watching it. Like, I enjoy watching SmackDown. I don't like particularly the Bloodline story, but listening to Roman explain of this journey is not just for me. I have to bring other people on this ride as well. And when you think of the people that he has done to, like Jimmy and Jay have their own identities now. That used to be the joke. You didn't know which one was which. They were the same person. The fact that Sami Zayn played a role in that as well. There has been a lot of people who he has definitely elevated at the same time. I do think he's suppressed a lot of people at the same time by holding it for quite so long. But the uncertainty in 2020 as well. When he finally came back and he announced it, like, I beat it, y'all. Like, oh my God, that was just like so, everyone was so excited to see Roman again. But then that uncertainty again. But basically, that's my main good cop moment. How lucky are we to have Roman Reigns in the WWE? Can you imagine how badly this could potentially have turned out? When someone announces to you that they've suffered from leukemia of the blood, and then it's come back again, it's never as easy that second time around. And just that realization to me that as much as I don't like the story and it's anyone but Roman, how much worse off the WWE would be if Roman had never returned. And I'm appreciative that we have our tribal chief.
Do you remember how you heard about it?
I don't think I was. If you're asking me and putting me on the spot, what my vague recollection is, was I saw it on Twitter, and then I went to, and I don't remember if I had cable at that time or if people were posting the clip on Twitter. So I kind of saw, first of all, yeah, this is what's happened. And then I went to watch the clip. So I did not watch it live. I'm almost certain of that.
I know how you heard about it, Graham.
From you?
I phoned you.
Oh my gosh, I do not remember that.
I phoned you on WhatsApp.
Oh, okay.
I phoned you directly.
I do not remember that at all.
To tell you, because you were reading a book with, I'm thinking it probably Mason, because Jackson would have been better at that time.
Oh, probably. Yeah, that would make sense. Mm. Yeah.
And I told you that Roman Reigns has got cancer.
Yeah. Shocking.
He's just quit.
Yeah. Like, you don't see, like, I know it's a little different from the 80s where everything, but you do not see people break kayfabe like that on that scale to say that. It was just shocking. It was absolutely shocking. And you can see the reactions of people's faces. And I wasn't crying, but I was close to tears as I remember watching that and just like how emotional that was. Even now knowing that he's come through the other side of that. It's still a really emotional watch. But yeah, 6 years ago, that was... It makes sense, but it was shocking.
It's a rough moment for sure. Yeah. I remember when we edited the episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop that week, I actually cut in thank you, Roman chants at the beginning of the show as well.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a rough week that week.
Yeah. To go from the booze at the start to the immediate thank you, Roman, that whole switch from one to another, it just reminds you that wrestling fans can be good. Yeah. I know we talk a lot of talk about wrestling fans are idiots. Well, not all wrestling fans. You know what I mean? We've had multiple bad cop moments involving wrestling fans. But people who were at that event, totally appropriate. Absolutely. They're booing him because he's that character. But then once it's that realization, it was like nothing but love for that man. But also on the A&E biography, which I forgot because I didn't write notes for this one. Yeah, I didn't really feel I need to. When he went back, Paul Heyman puts his basically just gives him a big hug. And he's like, you're not alone. Like, and he repeats it. Like, they had captions because it was kind of quiet to make sure you could hear it. But it's like, you are not alone with this. But the love that people showed him backstage, I can't imagine what it was like for those wrestlers as well. No. Like, it said, Michael Cole, I think, said that he's a very private person and he did not let people know about that. And when he finally had to do, I'm assuming, I don't think anyone, people knew that when what he was going out to say. I don't think everybody knew at that point. I'm sure because the closest going out,
people that knew were, yeah. And Renee's actually confirmed this.
Yeah.
Dean didn't know. Seth didn't know. Mm-hmm. The people who know were Vince, Hannah, and Heyman.
I seem to remember, wasn't Seth, at one point when the Shield kind of got to Seth was almost in tears, I seem to remember at one point, when he finally...
They embraced it toward the ramp, and later in the night, Dean, Seth won the titles, and then Dean turned on Seth.
Yeah.
But that was always the plan.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Roman was like, nah, you boys do what's best for business. Because the show had to go on.
Of course.
Of course, he returned a month before WrestleMania. Because we were there for it. And I was always wondering, what was McIntyre's plan if Reigns hadn't come back?
Because
McIntyre, obviously him losing the Reigns at WrestleMania when we were there, wasn't a long match. It was about 7-8 minutes. It was fine. It did his job.
Yeah.
But Drew's never got one over on Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And they can definitely play into that once Reigns comes back in the summer, because we assume he's going to be losing the title to Cody at Mania. But you never know.
I don't know.
I mean...
I really don't know.
I mean, the money is, a lot of people are saying the money is in Roman losing the belt because Rock screws him on night two. And
that's
then...
what I talked to, and I know Ryan addressed this a little bit. That was what I said. I said, my only hope is, I didn't mind the segment in terms of the story development, but I didn't like the segment in itself. And I said, I'm hoping that what he whispered into his ear was basically like, I'm going to beat you up. But the plan is still on, kind of thing. And I know Ryan talked about that last week.
Yeah.
But that was kind of what I'm thinking. That would be the only positive I'm going to take from that. If that turns out that... But I think it's more common now than what I thought it was initially. Like, I hadn't heard people talking about Agent Rock to begin with. But it sounds like that's a lot more common a theory now.
The theory's there, but is it true? We will find out on Sunday, yes.
Yeah, that's the joy of it.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow night, of course. But my theory about... tonight, because it's going out on Saturday, of course, my fear about tonight's WrestleMania Night 1 is Seth screws Cody.
That's an interesting one as well.
We get the Bloodline rules, and then Rock will screw Roman, and then at SummerSlam down the line, it'll be Rock versus Cody for the title. Roman comes back, screws Rock. You get Rock, Roman for WrestleMania next year. Perfect. Perfect payoff.
A lot of fantasy booking that makes this entertaining, and there's not many things that don't make it good.
No, but the thing is, like, that's just one scenario I've just posted there, and people would love to see that. No guarantee of it, of course. Can I transition into my speed check here? Because
go ahead. I'm not setting the clock because there's only two.
My only real speed check thing is Clash of the Castles background.
I saw, actually in Scotland as well.
It's in the homeland, laddie. It's in the homeland. Poster's pretty good. Do you know who's not on it?
I'd be disappointed if you told me Drew.
Drew is on it.
Oh, phew.
But the tribal chief is not on the poster at all.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting now, they released that picture before WrestleMania like that.
You think, like, wait till Monday? Quite demanding sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, I could be reading it. Obviously, card is subject to change, of course. As we found out of 6W, of course. We had to do a few changes in the works. But you never know what's going to happen. I think if Drew's not in the main event for that, that's stupid. I mean, a Scotsman in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
You've got to put him in the main event. You've got to. It's too well set up. You've got to have our five people on the show, obviously, as well. Nikki Cross, get all the Scots on the show.
I was about to say, you could also have Drew tagging with Nikki in an intergender match against two Brits. What would be better than a Scots versus English match as
who
well?
Who would you put in an English?
I don't know. I don't know. Pete Dunne and I don't know. I'm just picking names off the top of my head.
You know what? I'd love to. I respectfully disagree with you, Graham. I wouldn't want to see Pete Dunne in a mixed tag match with Drew McIntyre. I'd like to see Drew McIntyre versus Pete Dunne for 45 minutes, and that would work for me as well.
That would be good as well.
And my God, could he elevate him? For me, I would not be adverse to Drew going over on night two, because I think Drew. I think it gives Seth a chance to heal a bit. That championship actually means something now as well. And I think Drew needs a run with a belt. I think heal Drew would be great at the belt. You can have so many people chase him for it. So many people. You've got so many great matches. We've got there. We've got main event Jey Uso now stood out in his prime. If Sammy was to dethrone Gunther, no one would mind because Gunther's a natural challenger for the world championship. So no one's going to lose out on that side of things. So much.
I have you one other question then, because we haven't addressed it at all. With those storylines we just talked about, what's happening with Money in the Bank? Is that going to be Roman's title right now? Is that going to be Seth's title right now? Or is it just going to get blown and he wastes it?
The Money in the Bank contract, Graham, states that you can cash in on a champion of your choice.
Yeah.
Now he can cash in on
Roman. Is this his last opportunity, WrestleMania?
No. No.
Okay, when's the last opportunity? Is it a full year?
Money in the Bank is his last.
Okay, so I guess there's a fourth option. Either title, waste it, or hold on to it.
Yeah, those are the options, yeah.
So you'd want him to hold on to it then with those storylines that you just talked about, right? Like, you wouldn't want him taking it off Seth, because then that screws Drew over to have his possible reign.
But given we've seen little fractures in the Judgment Day again in recent weeks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, who's to say that cooler heads won't prevail, and every time Priest has tried to cash in, Priest has had golden opportunity to catch in, and his own teammates have been the one that screwed him over.
Mm-hmm.
I think Truth will keep screwing him out of cashing it in, and running out of time is the only thing that hasn't happened with that contract yet. We've seen Mania cash-ins, we've seen Raw cash-ins, we've seen SmackDown cash-ins, we've seen other pay-per-views cash-in. The only thing we haven't seen is that briefcase run out of time. And I posited that theory months ago, and we're months later here, and I'm like, what if he comes out and screws Drew out of a title sort of thing? I'm like, well, yeah, he could do that, but for me, the storyline for me is Drew McIntyre versus Finn Balor. Just for me, that's just money, that match.
Unfortunately, Ryan said like he didn't want to hear theories, he didn't want to hear any of that. But the one I saw, I really liked. I thought you would like it more than anything else. That basically, he gives the contract to Finn, and then Finn beats Seth because of all that history there as well, and then Finn becomes the champion. I was like, I'm sure you'd be happy seeing some abs.
Yeah, true. I would like to point out though that he didn't want any. He didn't mind us speculating, Graham.
No.
He doesn't want us reporting stuff from like fan sites or stuff. I've been staying away from them like the fucking plague. And I've had like three or four things pop up on my thing, like, this is a spoiler for us. I'm like skip.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want. I'm trying to avoid all spoilers this time. I got spoiled Jordan Grace at the Rumble. I'm not being spoiled WrestleMania.
Okay.
Especially because obviously we did promise Ryan we weren't going to talk about what happened with AEW this past week about the releases.
I watch it, so that's fine.
About the releases, Graham.
Oh, I saw who it was.
Yeah, we've seen who it was, but we've been told to not talk about it because
he's not listening to this, so it's fine. But we couldn't have talked about it with him here. I don't particularly want to talk about it because I don't think it was that exciting, to be honest. I think it makes perfect sense that you'd want to trim that roster a little bit. So
no, I fully agree with you, Graham.
Okay.
We could talk about this part because the thing is, but my problem, and I'm going to talk about more in Bad Cop momentarily, probably.
Okay.
So maybe it's time to go to Bad Cop, Graham. Why don't you do Good Cop,
man? Do I not get a speech check?
Once you've done your Good Cop speech check, of course.
Okay, so I already mentioned that it was going to be The Rock. I requested this one, not because it's anything amazing, but seeing as I've been so anti-Bloodline, it just seemed the right time to be positive. As I was going to talk about Roman, it made sense I wanted to talk about The Rock. A fan saw him in Target. The fact that The Rock is in Target, to me, is just mind-blowing. The biggest superstar in Hollywood is walking around Target is just... Can you imagine seeing The Rock in Target? You'd be like... You would definitely, you'd be asking for an interview again. I know that. But yeah, the guy went up to him and I think he asked him to sign his arm. I'm guessing he didn't have a paper or anything, but he's like, if you sign my arm, I will get a tattoo of The Rock or whatever, of the Brahma Bull.
It was his signature and the Brahma Bull, yeah.
There you go. And sure enough, the guy did it. And the first post I saw was actually The Rock posting it, like basically saying, you did it, my man. You got it. And then when you went back a line, the guy said, look, I've got my tattoo. Can you hook me up with tickets to WrestleMania? And The Rock, being The Rock, of course, is like, you and your daughter are heading to WrestleMania. It was like such a cool feel-good story. Like, wouldn't it be enough just to get The Rock to sign your arm? If you just got The Rock to sign your arm and just meeting The Rock, you would be more than happy, right? The memento of having a Rock tattoo there would just consolidate that whole thing. But then just for the fact The Rock to retweet you, how amazing would that be? But he didn't just retweet it. He addressed the man and he said, I'm going to get you a rest to wrestle. It was just a really cool feel-good story. And yeah, that's it. It's just something short, but I really like that.
Okay.
One last thing. I just like it when I think The Rock appreciates that how much of a difference you can make to your fans just by doing something. For him, very simple, but that made a huge difference in that wrestling fan's life for sure.
Absolutely. Talking about fanboying a little bit, obviously, you weren't here last week for me to tell you, Graham, but you heard it on the show, of course. We had some last-minute adjustments to the card, obviously. Blue Kane couldn't appear, so they drafted in a replacement for him, and someone else was injured, so they had to draft in Kelly Six, who had been out in Japan. So we ended up with Kelly Six versus British boxing medalist and AEW wrestler Anthony Ogogo. Now, I've not fanboyed at an indie show before. Not when I've been a professional, as in working for the company. Did a little bit. He was an absolute gentleman. He actually came seeking me, Graham, as well.
He wanted to make sure.
Yeah, to actually tell me what moves to look out for, what he calls, and all that sort of stuff. And I was like,
brilliant. That's a pro right there. That's what you're supposed to do.
He came looking for the comment for the league com to find out what. I'm like, yeah, absolutely brilliant. I was joined on commentary by Rudy Root as well.
Nice.
That was phenomenal because he's worked with both of the people in the ring. That made perfect sense, and it was an absolute delight to talk to have Rudy next to me, but also just because I could. It was amazing. Kelly Six even added me on Facebook, so he could actually send me across the names for his moves because they were Japanese. In fact, give me a second. I will.
I was about to say I'd kind of like to hear that Japanese accent. I don't think I've ever heard you do that before.
Okay. Well, he's got a lung blower, which he calls the Iramashio, and the back sent on when he's on his knees in the corner, Nakadashi. Now.
Sorry, Naka? Did I hear Naka?
Nakadashi.
Oh, sorry. Okay. A Japanese, of course, not English.
Now, I would like to point out that he did say to me, don't Google them.
Oh.
That's the fun.
So obviously you did.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. All right.
I haven't done.
We'll get Ryan to Google it.
I'm pretty sure that the fan cops out there will be laughing. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have UTT Rob or Dan Griffin or someone slide into my DM and say, because I'm guessing that they're not PG words when you translate them in, back into good language.
JCB's our Japanese expert, isn't
indeed,
he?
Yeah. Indeed. Over on the Phoenix Flash podcast and, of course the BFR podcast, of course. Both here on VGM, of course. Yeah, he's... You know what? Everyone was just so nice. I was in the queue for burgers. Because of course I was. Before the show, I was in the queue, and it's behind.
You don't
me
get to work. Skip the line. You don't get to move straight to the front. As,
before the crowd came in, we queued up for our burgers.
Okay.
And I was in the queue, and behind me was Millie McKenzie. And
Millie McKenzie was on the show.
Millie McKenzie was wrestling Nina Samuels. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I totally missed
that.
Yeah, for the
World Championship. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I've been
just listening to your story.
I've been 15 minutes talking to McKenzie. Yeah.
You need your own spin-off podcast where you're actually talking about CXW stories and perhaps catching up with these people. And you need to tell Paris. I'll promote Paris's show. You're already doing it.
You can come on. I've asked her to come on the show, Graham.
You did not.
I did.
You did not.
I did ask her.
She obviously said that. She obviously laughed at it.
She said, if I got time.
I will take that as an answer right now. That is amazing.
Nina.
The balls on you to ask Millie McKenzie to appear on our little podcast is amazing.
We've been going, Graham, for 6 years. We're established.
I know we have.
I'm saying this with love to the network.
How long has Mrs. Brown's boys been going as well, though? Just because longevity doesn't necessarily mean that it's good, but hey.
Graham, we've had legitimate wrestlers on this show.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's probably legitimate because you've got a bona fide wrestling commentator, mm-hmm. you've got a bona fide genius, and you've got you.
You guys, you and Ryan are the experts. There is no doubt about that at all. I have my little bit more indie side, thankfully. But now Ryan's on. I kind of lost my niche a little bit.
And for context, Millie's order was just a cheeseburger with ketchup.
Did she have the ketchup
herself?
Yes,
she had the ketchup herself, yes. Yes, Graham, she did.
It's been a couple of weeks. I had to. Well, I think that might be the last time.
And for context, I had a double with cheese and bacon and mustard and ketchup.
Oh, nice.
Well, apparently they're paying. It's fine.
There you go. Hold on. Yeah, are we still in good cop moment? I don't know where.
We are.
I was doing my good cop speed check, and then you're supposed to go to tacking... bad cop, but I don't know
how. I was just tacking on more good stuff because I want to get out of the way before we go to bad.
All right. Fair enough. Bad cop. Let's do it.
Good.
Well, I wanted to look at some of the bad, really bad stuff this week. Thing is, there's been so much good stuff in the world of wrestling this week, it's hard to actually pin something down as bad. So I am going to... I'm going to say, Graham, why don't you go first?
Okay, we can do that. Unfortunately, my main bad cop moment is not quite as effective now. It's only just you. I was hoping that Ryan was going to be here as well, but anyway. I actually gave this quite a bit of thought. This is heavily scripted, Matt. I wanted to make sure that my words were exactly what I wanted to be. I wanted to make sure that every thought that I had was concise. I wanted to make sure this was exactly as I wanted it to be, okay? All right. It started with, get your shut-the-fuck-up cards ready, but don't use them too quickly, gentlemen, or you won't be able to use them when I continue 90 seconds later. If you thought there was a big hypocrisy that Ryan pointed out last week in Matt saying he'd bang Hook, but he can't say what he'd like to do to Rhea or Rhea to do to him. Actually, never mind that. He did actually say exactly what I was going to. Anyway, there's a bigger double standard than that. Barclays Center, Monday night. Becky Lynch is in the ring, and she doesn't want to wait until WrestleMania. She wants to fight Rhea Ripley tonight, and the fans want it as well. And she makes it very clear to Rhea, come on out, let's do this now. Unfortunately, Adam Pearce comes out, the guards come out, and they're not going to allow this. Rhea does come out, and Adam pleads with Rhea, you can wait a few days to fight at WrestleMania. This is too big an event. You just need to wait. Well, guess what? Rhea does not want to wait. And when six guards is not enough, additional guards come in from the back, and they do manage to separate the two wrestlers. Always entertaining. But why did they do that? Because WrestleMania is more important than Raw, but you can't afford to lose a big match so close to WrestleMania, and you can't afford an injury to any of those wrestlers. All makes perfect sense so far, Matt, right? I'm just going to see if I can get a little nod of your head.
Kind of.
Okay. So
I'm waiting
this
for
is
the bad cop.
Okay. Well, let's contrast them. So I was very unhappy with, like I said, the Rock segment, and I didn't think it was particularly good. And part of the reason why I didn't like it was, hold on, The Rock is part of SmackDown, but he's coming onto Raw, and he's taking out your main babyface, and nobody's coming out to do anything about it? Huh, really? Like, no one got sent across onto SmackDown the following night to give some vengeance back or anything. Nothing at all. So, when I see this, what do I see? The main event of Raw. Seth asks for a match with the Bloodline, but settles for solo under Bloodline rules. Well, okay, at least we get to know what Bloodline rules is ahead of WrestleMania, because I don't think anyone really knows what it is. We kind of think we know what it is, but we're not sure. What it actually turns out to entail is something we have seen in every single Roman match for the last 3 years. Jimmy comes out, tries to interfere, Jay quashes it, at least until the next member of the Bloodline steps up, and then we got The Rock. So we have Solo versus The Rock versus Seth, 2-on-1, just like we've seen for every time for the last 3 years. Cody comes out, evens things up, 2-on-2. But then Roman appears, making it 3-on-2. And then two of the biggest and the most popular characters on Raw get the shit beat out of them by their opponents, as the Bloodline just outnumber their opponents, as they always do. Okay, this completely devalues the mystique of what the Bloodline rules might be now for WrestleMania, as far as I'm concerned. All it means is that the Bloodline is just going to fucking cheat. They're going to play a numbers game. They're not going to give a shit. They're going to bring everybody out. That's all it is. So this is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Same lazy storytelling we've had for the last 3 years. Bloodline rules is not a special match. It's what it's always been. After being beat and then whipped with a belt by The Rock and also by Roman multiple times now, it's possible, Matt, possible, but probably won't happen, they might not be able to compete now for the main event of WrestleMania. Night one, main event, your two biggest stars from Raw could both be out because they're injured. Where was Adam Pearce? Where was security? Adam Pearce didn't come out. Security didn't come out. At the very least, Rhea Ripley or Becky should have come out and screamed into the mic, what the fuck? Do you not see the double standard here? So, yeah, really important. No disrespect to the women. No, we don't. No, you guys aren't allowed to foul. You might get injured. We want to save this for WrestleMania. But your main event for WrestleMania night one, you have no problems playing out. Make it make sense. Oh, is he bringing it out? I'd say, if you bring it out too early, I still got a little bit more. If you want to bring it out. Go ahead.
No,
he's going to wait. I'm nearly finished, I promise you. One thing I talked about with Ryan in the DMs, and a major criticism of that final boss segment, was no one on the main roster of Raw came out to help Cody. Even if this was the fact that it was the fact they were outside and they couldn't get out there quickly enough, admittedly, the outside of a stadium does look pretty similar wherever you are. That was not the case this week. This was in the middle of the ring, and how many people came out to help Cody or Seth? Fucking nobody? Really? You're going to let people from SmackDown come into your house 2 weeks in a row, beat the shit out of your two biggest stars, and not one person from the back's coming out? Adam Pearce is not coming out. Security's not coming out. This is absolutely ridiculous. The blue band is on the red band, and what happens? Nothing. Now, if you start playing this up at Survivor Series, I am going to be seriously pissed. If you're going to tell me it makes a difference whether you're on the blue band and you're loyal to the blue band or you're loyal to the red band or whatever, and you did nothing to fucking stop The Rock or Roman Reigns beating up those two stars in that match, I hated this segment. It doesn't make sense. You do not let people come onto your brand and take over. And if it does, you're going back the very next episode and you're doing something about it. and that did not happen on SmackDown last week, and I don't expect it to happen on SmackDown this week. But there's a big fucking double standard there. Don't like it. Don't like it. I'm done. I can shut the fuck up while you do your rebuttal anyway.
Right. Okay. I'm going to explain this to you, Graham, very quickly.
Like you would a little kid. All right. I'm Jackson. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Actually, no, because it's actually, there's quite a lot of detail behind it because they've already explained this.
Perhaps not to my satisfaction, but go ahead.
Maybe not, but who is The Rock?
He's the boss. He's the fired up boss. He runs everything now. Like he's on whatever that TKO is, whatever it's called.
He is literally the boss. He's on the board of TKO. They have mentioned this multiple times in promos and things. Rock have literally said, like, come out or fire. Simple as that. I don't think so. That's a simple thing, Graham. It may not be the case.
You don't think there's a single wrestler that's like, go ahead, fire me. I don't give a fuck. You're not doing that. This is bullshit.
If you come out, you're out of WrestleMania. And that means a lot to some people. I'm not saying it's right, Graham.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that I can explain it away that way. Whether or not I'm right explaining it that way, okay. In my opinion, that's how I'm reading it, yes.
So that's why Adam Pearce didn't come out. That's why security didn't come out. But if Rock's doing what's best for business, But that's not best for your family to take them out before WrestleMania if they can't compete at WrestleMania.
If they can't compete,
they're going to have some belt marks on their back and they'll probably have some bandages around. And I don't think for one second they can't wrestle on night one. But from what you saw on Monday, it is a possibility, right? I did use the word possibility.
They did rock up on SmackDown, though.
They did?
Cody came out on SmackDown.
By himself.
On his own.
Yeah.
And Cody came out on SmackDown. Roman came out on his own, and then he clicked his fingers like Thanos.
Yeah, and then they just paired off, but they didn't attack them. That's the difference. I think you got your episodes the wrong way around. I think the final boss came after that section. I think
it's possible. There's been a lot of
wrestling. I think that's the wrong way around. But in any case,
I wouldn't be shocked to see him there tonight. I think it's a Hall of Fame as well, so it wouldn't shock me. But I guess we'll have to wait and see on that side of things. But I do hear what you're saying, and it's my head canon, it makes sense for it to be that way. Whether or not it's actually the right way or not, open to opinion.
I just don't like the fact that you tell Rhea and Becky they can't fight because you've got to wait till WrestleMania, but then you do that at the same time. I understand that you're trying to build, but it just seems very hypocritical. Oh, and the other double standard was as well, and that's why I didn't write it down in my notes, was... Soon as I'm gone, what are you guys talking about? Gaming. Oh, I have this setup, and oh, I would like this computer here, and I would like doing it. Oh my God, it was absolutely pathetic. And he has a nerve to tell me that I talk about disc golf. I'm like, you fuck off. Like soccer? Absolutely. I'd admit that. I put my hands up to that one. But that's now to wind him up a little bit. But you guys always talk gaming. And I was like, as soon as you, it was nothing that would, it was the biggest tangent ever. And it was like, oh yeah, I have this computer here and I would like this computer here. And you like to play with your dice as well. I
bit of ASMR for you guys there. right. Backup stuff for me, it's kind of few and far between, as I mentioned, but one of the big things for me is one of the biggest stipulations about one of the biggest matches of the entire weekend of WrestleMania was revealed quite quietly, actually.
Oh.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Graham. There's six teams in that tag team title match, correct?
There are, yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, you got, obviously, Judgment Day defending against DIY, New Catch Republic, Awesome Truth, and the other two, I'm struggling out. Oh, you got A-Town Down Under.
You got who?
A-Town Down Under.
Oh, okay, yep. Possibly.
No, officially they're still in it, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. There was speculation.
There was speculation, but that's not looking like the case. And I'm struggling with a lot of the sixth team for some bizarre reason.
I don't remember. Probably.
Ivy Niles boys, the Creeds. I think so. But if
it's a bad cop moment that you didn't research this properly and take notes so you could do this segment more efficiently.
Possibly, but How do you win the match, Graham?
Something to do with a ladder, isn't it? I assume there's a belt suspended, I assume.
Yeah, but what's the specific rule for the match? The Undisputed Championship is only won if you retrieve both sets of belts.
Oh, okay.
Both championships are up for grabs in this, basically. We could have the title split again. And no one's been talking about a Raw and SmackDown.
Oh.
I'm like, that's a big deal. Both titles have been unified for a year and a half now. Mm. Actually, no, getting on 2 years, because they obviously had Backlash 2002. Yeah, they're getting on for 2 years, so those titles have been one.
2002 is more than 2 years away.
You sure about that?
2002? Yes.
2022, I'm sure. 2022, sorry. 2022, sorry. Thank you, Graham. Backlash next month in France, no less, will signify the two, will signal around about that sort of time frame when the titles are unified by the Usos from Riddle and RKO. Not sure. I like the idea of them splitting the belts, I'll be fair. Again. But I'm more annoyed, it's bad cop, but they're not making a bigger deal about this. They've got to claim them both to be going to be a champion. Technically, that means Judgment Day can still hold a set of belts going out of it. You got to claim all four belts? Someone's going to be unhappy.
Oh.
It's unlikely that all four belts will be taken by the same same people. I mean, you're the mathematician, Graham. Odds are not in their favour.
Not with six teams. Not with 12 people. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Four belts, 12 people, do the math.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not happy. They're not making a bigger deal out of it. That's my bang, bad cop.
Hmm. I didn't really have one, but I realised as I was driving home that this really should be it. I had a chance to meet Becky Lynch last weekend, and I didn't take it. During spring break, her releasing of her book, I saw this a couple of weeks beforehand, and I deliberately didn't mention it because I was like, I'm going to save it. I'm going to show the boys online as my main good cop moment, me stood next to Becky Lynch with an autograph and a picture. $40 for an hour, you got to hear questions and answers with Becky Lynch and somebody who was interviewing her. You got her copy of a book, and you got a signed copy of her book. And then at the end, if you wanted it personalized, you could bring it to her, and then she would do that for you, which... why wouldn't you do that? Hey, Becky, here's my book. Hey, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You can write to Graham on it or whatever you want. And you also got a picture. And when you have a meet and greet, you're normally stood next to the wrestler, right? One of the things that kind of was like not so cool with this, I saw the day before in New Jersey, and there's a table there. Becky was one side of the table, and you're the other side of the table, and you got your picture like that. And in my mind, I was like, that's not quite the same thing. And I just decided last minute, I was like, yeah, I don't think it's worth it. And now I'm like, what a fucking idiot. $40 for an autographed book, chance just to talk to Becky even for a couple of seconds, and then get a picture next to her, even if she's on the other side of the table. I'm a fucking moron. I know you guys tell me that on a regular basis, but what an opportunity I missed. $40 is ridiculously, that's nothing for a book, and just for the book as well. It would have been, if I buy the autograph book, it's probably $40 anyway. But I could have got a picture with her and talked to her just even briefly. Seems like it should be a bad cop moment.
It's not the same, Graham, but I've got a copy of a Tom Kerridge cookbook autographed by Tom Kerridge.
But did you get it autographed by him? Do you give it? It's different if you just get
it autographed. It was autographed by him, yes, at an actual meet and greet, because inside is the actual receipt from when it was done. It was gifted to me by a friend of the family. Okay. I don't know if you remember that he got it signed on. I'm like, not to my mum, but she wanted it off me. She loves Tom Kerridge. great chef. I was going to say something. Yeah. I'm going to go to my speed check. That's okay. Slight bad cop on me, feeding on what you just said there. Me bad cop for not mentioning it in good cop. During the Knights versus British Top Team street fight, They end up going to ringside, and one of the merch tables was ransacked. And then pushed, all the stuff was pushed off, and the table itself was put in the ring.
Eek.
It
they
was.
They probably weren't happy.
Oh, it was fine. There were other tables there to bring out. It was happening, sort of thing. But it was it was a good dynamic. The people knew it was happening. So it was
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, then I thought you meant they disrespected all their stuff and like threw their t-shirts on the floor.
The bad cop moment was on me for not mentioning it earlier because I thought it was a really cool moment. When you see the video footage later, guys, it's a very, very cool dynamic. And RKJ was in attendance again and. Wow, he's going to be brilliant. He really is. My main speed check for Bad Cop, though, is that bloody Bray Wyatt documentary.
I haven't seen it yet, but...
I can't see it.
You can't? It's not on the network?
It's a Peacock.
Oh! Well,
and
soft.
Yes, we can get it on VPN.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm paying... I have a VPN. I pay for VPN.
Yeah.
But I didn't pay for VPN to then have to pay for a Peacock subscription on top to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't pay for VPN for that. Okay? I do it so I can watch bogus Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
If I watch German or Australian Netflix and all that sort, that's what I get it for, you know? Although, funny enough, VPN doesn't get you around the fact I can't watch Bar Rescue in America because Paramount, it's on Paramount. Paramount is tied to the country you're in. It's not tied to VPN. The VPN, it'll say like, okay, that was valid in the UK, you can't use it anywhere else in the world. Because my Paramount network, for example, is free through my Sky, but it only works in the UK. So I put my VPN in, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sign up for $9.99. I'm like, no, fuck that. So it made me not happy. Basically, I'm not happy that now people are region locking things to get around people using VPNs to watch stuff. Mm. I'm not slagging off the Bray Wyatt documentary. Apparently it's amazing. It really, really is, apparently. I'm just upset because I can't get the fucking watch without paying out more money for it.
I guess, actually, I'm going to follow on then. Things we should have mentioned but didn't. Somebody actually was talking at lunchtime a couple of days ago, and I was like, can you repeat what you just said? I heard a yeet out in the wild. I was not expecting that at all. I've never heard it used outside wrestling. So I thought that was funny. I don't know. I had one more important one than now, and I've totally forgotten what it was. Oh, as Ryan's not here, I can possibly talk about this. The Dark Side of the Ring was about Harley Race this week. I did not know anything about it. I obviously know the wrestler, but it's not my generation at all. I didn't realize the situation that he had in his early life and also later life, the fact that his first wife, who was carrying his first child, died in a car crash. It's like, oh my God, it's horrible. And then later in life, as he started to abuse alcohol more, and there was the boat accident and injured somebody who was basically in a wheelchair then. I'm not sure if it was the rest of their life, but they certainly were 2 years later. And he had to pay basically all the money he'd earned in the last 20 years over to that person. I think they sued for $10 million, and I think they settled for $250,000. But yeah, a Dark Side of the Ring that was very dark. I didn't know the whole story about Harley Race, but horrible. I can't imagine the effect that would have on you for the rest of your life when something happens to you like that. I think he said he was about 17 at the time. Just terrible.
I have your battle, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
What the first thing you said there before you mentioned Harley Race?
Dark Side of the Ring?
Yeet.
Oh, the yeet thing? Okay.
Yeah, my rebuttal here, and I'm getting a bit lighthearted here about it. You are aware that yeet was a thing before Jey Uso?
Oh, I know that. I just said I don't hang around with people that say yeet particularly. Like, I used to joke with you.
You have a son.
I've never, they don't say it.
But that's because you don't even play Fortnite, Graham, that's why. And that's better for them, to be fair. That's, yes. that's for sure. Yeah. And that was a big thing, is that you could throw things and people in that game, but instead of pressing the throw button, it was called the yeet button.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeeting is to throw something.
Yeah, that was what they mentioned. They said yeeting, and I was like, What did you just say? And then I was like, I thought it was funny. There was one out in the wild. I'm so used to just hearing it from Jay, but Jay Uso has made
it very, very popular. And the fact that they've now got around the copyright as well with you and Vanya.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I did not know that Fortnite connection at all. I did not know that.
So. Well, now you know, Graham. Sometimes gaming has its uses. You're not missing anything, by the way. And don't even I would pay good money to watch Mason or Jackson do the gritty, but that's all I say.
Gritty?
The dance.
Oh, okay.
It's a dance made famous from Fortnite, yeah. It's not good.
Ready to go to fan cop?
Please and thank you.
Good! Bad!
So it's to assist Ryan, because I thought it was very possible. If I ask for fan cop moments, people might mention things that he did not want to hear. So I thought the better way around it is to ask people what was their favorite WrestleMania and why. So this week, then, let me start off with Dan Griffin. He picked WrestleMania 19, watched it on repeat on DVD, and 2/3 of the show is absolute bangers. Michaels versus Jericho, Triple H versus Booker, Redacted versus Redacted, Rock versus Stone Cold 2, Angle versus Redacted, ridiculous level of quality and entertainment. Thought it was funny that it had Redacted in there. Word is so funny.
Do you want me to tell you who Redacteds are in which order?
Sure, because I didn't know. Well, with there being three Redacteds, I couldn't figure out who the three were.
Okay, well, the first two, it's Hogan versus McMahon.
Okay.
And the third one is Lesnar.
Oh, okay. I knew it was far too late for it to be redacted, but I couldn't figure out who the other ones were.
It was 2/3 of that card is amazing. Rey Mysterio with Matt Hardy as well in the opener. Absolute barnstormer. Trish Stratus, Victoria, and Jazz in a great triple threat match. You had a triple threat tag match for the SmackDown tag titles back then. You had Redacted and Rhino versus Haas and Benjamin versus Eddie and Chavo Guerrero. It was phenomenal triple threat match. There were bangers all over that card, and you had Taker versus Big Show and A-Train, now I was known as Albert or Tensai or Matt Bloom, as he's now known at the Performance Center. Very, very good match. Handicap match, no less. Undertaker won.
Before you read yours, I might need to get a shut the fuck up card, because I have a feeling that no matter what WrestleMania somebody says, you're going to read out the whole card and you're going to review every single match. But all right, go ahead. Who do you have?
I'm going to go to Ben, largely speaking. Despite being universally panned by so many, WrestleMania 9 is my favorite. A few reasons why. It was the first event I ever watched on VHS. Mm-hmm. I loved Tatanka the Kid, being mesmerized by two doinks, becoming a Yokozuna fan by the end. Mm-hmm. It's not the greatest WrestleMania. It's not. It's you can tell that we were not flush with cash, despite being a Caesar Palace. Maybe Vince went to casino early in the day or something, lost all the money. Mainly because of the finish, because Yokozuna lost to beat Bret Hart, and then Hogan came out and beat Yokozuna in 5 seconds. Yokozuna being 570 pounds and, you know, built like a brick chicken house.
Can understand that sentimentality thing. Like the first WrestleMania that you see, you can totally see why people would
first
pick that.
First one I always say with you.
Yeah, and following on, Project Football Podcast at @Proj_foot. WrestleMania 6 was not only the first WrestleMania I saw, but my introduction to WWF at the time. Far from the best pay-per-view, I know, but still holds that special place for me. So you can really understand that a lot of people, they didn't necessarily pick what's their best, but they pick what's the most significant to them. And I think that's important for wrestling.
WrestleMania 6 was Hogan versus the Warrior, Albert Warrior, for the WWE and Intercontinental Championships. It was so significant a match. It's actually part of the showcase mode this year on the 2K game. I'm not going to talk about the game, don't worry about it. But it was significant enough to be included in... Okay, Sean.
No, I'm joking.
When they're going for the 40 years of WrestleMania on the game, the first one they start with WrestleMania 3, by the way. They start with 1 or 2, they start with WrestleMania 3. So the fact that they put WrestleMania's sixth main event in, significant.
I don't think we've ever used a shut the fuck up card on a fan call moment.
I think it could happen today, Joe Graham. next one for me, Van Graham. I'm going to last week's guest, SJ. My favourite WrestleMania would be WrestleMania 9, when it had the Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez. The match was short, but seeing two tall guys fight each other is always entertaining to watch. I remember how pumped me and my sisters were for that one particular match. I think the only time at WrestleMania Taker's actually been shorter than somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
The only match Taker didn't win as well. But he won by DQ.
Yeah.
He didn't win it per se, but he did win it because Gonzalez used chloroform to asphyxiate the Undertaker.
The only one he didn't win? I'm pretty sure he lost to Lesnar.
You know what I mean, Grams? Don't start picking holes here, okay? He didn't win it. He was awarded the victory by DQ. So,
okay.
Incidentally, God, SJ, I love you dearly, but if you were excited by that match, wow.
I watched it with either Mason or Jackson, and we were like, oh my God. Like, that was the first time I'd seen Giant Gonzalez. I was like, he is freaking huge. And same thing. I totally know where SJ's coming from on this one. It is a sight to be seen if you haven't seen somebody that big before. And you know how big Undertaker is.
I'll give you that for sure. Incidentally, that was the last time of the DQ finish at WrestleMania until WrestleMania 27 when Jerry Lawler lost to Michael Cole by DQ.
Queen of the Indies, Tiffany, yes. At Love to Dream 82. WrestleMania 10 will always be my favorite. Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels' ladder match always be in my brain. And a nice little gif there as well, or gif if you prefer, of Shawn Michaels cracking that ladder on his back.
It's
and
not
that
gentle.
Looks kind of brutal.
He didn't let it drop on him. He literally slams
into it. That look, sometimes you look at things and you go, fake. And you looked at that and I was like, fuck it.
They're best
that
friends. They're part of the clique. They're best friends.
Exactly.
There might be two more. I think there's a couple more. Yeah, I'm gonna flick across and look at UTC Rob. Probably WrestleMania 3. Felt like the first massive WrestleMania, massive stadium, big storylines, and iconic matches. Mentioned WrestleMania 3 was the first one they started with showcase mode, and the first one I started with was Steamboat versus Savage for the IC title. It's worth your time. You go back and watch it, going on the network if you have a chance. It's worth it. It's a clinic, an absolute clinic. I mean, you got Andre versus Hogan for the final as well. It's not bad.
Last one, I believe, but if there's more, you can carry on. At High Five Tom, hashtag good cop moment. To reiterate what Nish Guy said, check out local/indie wrestling. You never know what future stars you are going to see. High tides raises all ships, so the better the big companies do, it is trickling. He says he's tricking down. I think that's supposed to be his trickling down. We'll cut High Five Tom a little bit of slack. My typing's terrible, so I definitely don't want to be making it. But no, absolutely. As I was listening to Ryan like that, I was nodding vigorously at the same time. Been very fortunate to see some really amazing wrestlers who have gone on to bigger and better things. And yeah, you just don't know. You really do not know.
It's the thing you've seen. You've been blessed to see, like, Meechin. From you saw Jordan Grace, of course, up close and personal multiple times. You saw Shotzi, who has a big role in the game this year as well. Just saying she does. I've been blessed to see, you know, Zack Zodiac go. Jones is now over with AEW, for example. Lou Nixon, part of the British top team. He was over at Bloodsport 10. Absolutely smashing it. And he even liked my tweet that I posted about him today. So that's kind of nice. It's just nice to see people that you consider peers smashing it now. And I think brilliant.
I'll throw one more name out there, as you did mention it. Lady Frost. Frost mentioned, I think it was this week, she had her first ever match. Remember, her first ever match was on WWE against Oscar, and there was a lot of people who were very upset by that. Like, who's this person? She's not a wrestler. How does she get to face Oscar? 6 years down the line, and it's, you look at those performances. I only saw highlights of that match with Thunder Rosa last weekend, but Lady Frost is amazing. But yeah, but as she says, I went from being serving at the table, basically just selling Savage Gentleman's merch, and then now you look 6 years later, and that's a massive progression within that time. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I know, a shout out to Victor Benjamin as well. Absolutely. Legend in his own right. We've been so blessed by indie wrestling, and one thing we've seen from this weekend is the amount of great indie wrestling that's happening out there. And on that note, you know, I was telling you about Chris starting to watch Gladiators, Graham, and he wanted to get into watching
things. Yeah.
Well, we finished watching Gladiators in the UK. The series finished, and one of the two finalists was a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
On the indie scene, he works for True Grit. He works for people all over the country. Really good hope. And he was on Robert Evans' show on Radio V35, who's also been in my commentary box a couple of times, actually, on CXW. So, well worth checking out if you get a chance to. He is phenomenally huge. And, yeah, he almost won it. He almost won it, but his hamstring went on the final event.
Not on the... Please tell me it wasn't on the travel later.
Down the zip line, and it popped.
Oh,
and he did the balance beam, fell off the balance beam at the end.
Oh,
and then he did manage to do a travel rate, he did manage to do it, but he was a distant second at that point.
Yeah,
but yeah, the guy who won it was an army officer, to be fair, so he'd expect him to do well at that. Mm-hmm. I think Wesley Nazeko, I think it is. Check him out when he comes to your neck of the woods, guys, in the UK. He's phenomenal. He and Spinner Rooney celebrate.
I don't have a devil's advocate, because this week it looked like it was going to be, whether I was even going to record was debatable, so we can wrap this up if you like. I'll probably be available next week, but I do have a ticket for tomorrow's $1.2 billion lottery, so if I win that, I might be out spending my money instead. But
can
I'm
I get 1%, Graham? If you win it, if you win it, can I have 1%?
1%. Let me work out what that is. I first of all, I wouldn't win that amount anyway. It would. I think somebody's already said it's actually like 570 million, and then you got to pay tax on that as well. So it'd be down to like 300. It's not ridiculous. You don't pay tax on winnings in the UK and almost everywhere else. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to move state first. If I live in California or Texas, I do not have to pay tax on my lottery winnings. But in Virginia, I would do. But yeah, if I take it over 30 years, then I do get $1.2 billion. I might have to talk to my wife about that, because that's like $12 million. That's kind of a lot.
I'll take 0.1%. How about that?
I would definitely be okay with that. But I would have to check with the boss, of course.
Or you could buy me my own flat, mate. Buy me a flat and I'll be happy.
I can dream for right now, right? I could pay for guests to come on if we got that.
Graham, when it was a massive, massive rollover in the Euro a few years ago, I bought a few lines and I'd spent half the money before the draw came up. I didn't get one.
Of course.
We're but all the same.
Isn't it worth it, though, just for the dream factor? Like, I'm always joking with Jackson. Like, I've said, I think it'll be worth buying when it gets to, like, my birthday. And he's like, that's over a month away. I was like, Anyway, I'm hoping it can rise a little bit more. But
Graham, hey. if you want out some money, Graham, you could start an wrestling company.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Certainly fun one of the others.
I could. If actually I won something like that, I would probably, my first person who I would talk to, seriously, with regards to the wrestling side of it, I would talk to Mayday. Like, Mayday's living the dream right now. Like, he set up his own wrestling company. His show actually went on Wednesday. He's had some of those stars on it. People who we talk about and wax lyrical about, he has them on his show. So cool that he gets to do that. But he would be the person who, if I wanted to pick their brains, he would be the person I would go talk to straight away, for sure.
Right, Graham. Enjoy WrestleMania, guys. And if you're not watching WrestleMania, then enjoy whatever you are doing. To be fair, if you're listening to this and you don't check WrestleMania out at some point, then I think you're on the wrong show, to be fair. Because the fact that even...
listening to us for the gaming talk.
Some people listen to us because we're two idiots chatting. And you know what? That's fine. On behalf of us, we'll go back up. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with a full three-man booth. Ryan, nail the pots down. But there'll be no second earthquake, I'm sure. It's fine. We're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/